How y'all feel?
Deep, bad job. Multi-hostile. Highly motivated, motivated, motivated.
All I want to know if you got your popcorn ready.
On three. One, two, three.
This is Wichita's Sports Daily with Bruce Hurdle and Shane Dennis on Sports Radio KFH. 1240 AM, 97.5 FM.
And good morning, everybody. Good to have you with us in the middle of the week. Shane and Bruce with you for the next couple of hours at 869-1240. That's the direct line via the Tad's hotline, Tad's locker room hotline, rather, 869-1240. Shane is on the other side of the aisle as we get to what's on tap in a pretty busy first hour. Brought to you by Side Pockets, the corner of Kellogg and Tyler.
Dubai. Side Pockets, where it is Why Not Wednesday. Why not grab a juicy quarter-pound cheeseburger served with fries for only $5.95 today at lunchtime out at Side Pockets, corner of Kellogg and Tyler. Not that I wanted to trash him, because I wanted him to do well from the start.
Okay.
But I had compiled quite a laundry list of how bad Ian Kennedy had been, not only with the Royals, but at home. For the Royals, is a really hard thing to do if you're a pitcher and to have bad home stats, because that's a pitcher's park. It's one of the best,
right,
historically, or at least reputation-wise, the good pitcher's park. He was great last night. He went eight scoreless, and then Kelvin Herrera committed a rare deadly sin for a closer, and they ended up losing in the 10th, but we'll get into Ian Kennedy's numbers and how historically bad, especially the last 2 years, he's been at home. The Royals lost in extras last night, 5-1. Eske, Alcides Escobar, had a milestone last night for some reason. We'll explore. second segment, speaking
your
of
boy Hunter Dozier. Hunter Dozier,
yeah,
though.
Spoiler alert.
Come on.
He was our only source of offense last night. Yeah.
Well, let's...
In the second segment, we will explore what's on the way, if anything. We'll talk to Tony Boone from the Omaha World Herald. He covers the Storm Chasers for that newspaper. We'll talk about the prospects. What's coming? How's Bubba Starling coming along? What's his deal? What about the former Raul Mondesi? He changed his name. It's not Raul anymore. It's Adalberto Mondesi. He's hitting 257 right now. So we'll see what's coming down the pike, and maybe if we need to look further down the chain as far as what's coming for the Royals as far as prospects go. We know they signed their 24 of their draft picks, and they're in Surprise, Arizona right now working out, so they're obviously a long ways away. But what's coming down the pike? We'll talk to Tony Boone from the Omaha World Herald. That's next segment. Then we'll have a little U.S. Open Twitter question coming up 9:40. A little bit of a foreshadowing yesterday when we got on a rant about the U.S. Open and how tricked up do you like it. 10 o'clock, we'll talk to the voice of the Razorbacks, Phil Elson, as Arkansas is going back to the College World Series. They will have a get-together with Texas and a reunion of old Southwest Conference teams. It's the 9th. College World Series berth for Arkansas and their 5th since 2004. Arkansas has never won it. So we'll talk to Phil Elson, voice of the Razorbacks, coming up an hour from now. And then 10:20, we'll have some headlines. Former Masters champion Mike Weir is going to be in the field at the Wichita Open. So he's battling his way back to try to get on the big tour. Mike Weir will be the headliner. When you're talking about who's who and who we've heard of coming to the Wichita Open a week and a half from now, so that'll be cool. Reggie Bush is in the news. We'll talk about maybe, if time allows, our no-brainer MLB All-Stars, because there's a handful of them that certainly can't miss, not only with the reputation, but what kind of years they're having this year. And the Redskins replacement players in 1987 got Super Bowl rings yesterday. Kind of a
does that mean Keanu Reeves got his?
No, I'm not talking about the Washington Sentinels. I mean the Washington Redskins. Yeah. Right. Sorry. Yeah, Phil Martelli wouldn't probably allow that. Whatever that D-bag quarterback was that Shane Falco replaced at halftime.
I love me some Shane Falco though, man. I'm telling you.
Yeah, he played a pretty believable dumb, airheaded, left-handed quarterback, didn't he?
He was good at it, though.
He was really good at it, yeah.
I mean, you know, Keanu Reeves, do we think that Keanu Reeves, at the end of the day, actually has some athletic ability?
Did he play quarterback when he was in high school?
I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. He looks the part.
He does.
He looks like he knows what he's doing.
Yeah. My initial knee jerk would be, yeah, for sure he played quarterback in high school.
All right.
Surely some former football player wasn't necessarily on set of the replacements to help him with his mechanics, right? You don't waste that much money on that movie, you know, to say, okay, here you need to work on your footwork to be a little more believable. It's like they stumbled into Keanu Reeves, who moved around well enough to where he could throw a football. I got a question for you before we get going.
Uh-oh, yeah.
Bryan Adams, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Set it up for us, because I just peeked on Twitter, and you gave yourself away, so the floor is yours. Let's hear it.
Well, I didn't give myself away. My wife did.
All right, but you allowed it to happen.
But would have admitted it anyway, because it's kind of a... Bryan Adams is someone that I didn't exactly grow up with, but saw Bryan Adams a few times on the West Coast in his kind of bar, tavern sort of stage before he made it.
Wow.
In what, the early 80s or whatever the hell it was? Yep. I can't remember. Before Cuts Like a Knife, yep. and the song on Robin Hood and everything else. Went last night to Red Rocks on an absolutely Chamber of Commerce night.
Saw an Instagram from Bryan Adams after I saw you were there.
Right.
That place is ridiculous. I've never been there. All accounts, that place is stupid.
It's
beautiful.
The finest place. It's easily the best outdoor location that I've ever seen a concert at, and it doesn't even come close. So yeah. You're literally in the middle. I mean, there's a reason it's called Red Rocks. Mm-hmm. You've got just monstrous, you know, rock formations on either side of you, and it's been there like since 1920. It's a state, or it's a, is it a city or is it a state? I can't remember, but it's a government controlled. Facility. Mm-hmm. And man, I'm telling you, it hasn't lost a moment of relevance. And everyone has played there.
Mm-hmm.
No matter, you name it, they've played there, from Elvis to The Who to U2's iconic concert, one of their first live concert videos was filmed mm-hmm. there, and this, that, and the other thing. It was great. It was just an absolutely incredible night to do it. And Bryan Adams and his band were solid. You know, I mean, I always go into, you know, I'm not long for the nostalgia. It's not generally me. I mean, it's kind of like I'm good with Springsteen because I think he stays relevant. And so I will continue to do that. Others have come and gone in my sphere. And I'm not usually one that goes, I mean, AC/DC, I'll go see AC/DC, you know, something right. like that, obviously. That always remains relevant. But, you know how it is, how some bands kind of come and go. Maybe you picked up an album of theirs once or twice or something or other, but then you kind of lose track of them. They sounded good, man.
Hmm.
30 years after the fact, they had been there in 1985 and 1987. And then last night was their third night there. And they were great. Five-piece band, Canadian rock band. He sounds good and goes a lot further beyond just Cuts Like a Knife, Run to You,
yeah.
You know, the kind of stuff that you just immediately cliche for Bryan Adams.
Yeah.
Played solidly for about 2 hours, and It was pretty good. So
there's something to be said about going to see somebody that, and I'm guilty of this, as we all know, going to see somebody that back in their heyday didn't screech and scream. Because you can't.
Correct.
You only, like I said yesterday with pitching, you only got so many bullets in the chamber. You can't do that forever. I mean, if you're singing, if you're singing like Cinderella or Motley Crue, there's a shelf life there, man. You only got one voice, and you can repair it as however many times is necessary. But when you got a guy like Bryan Adams, and I don't want to certainly diminish Bryan Adams because there's, you do what you got to do to sell records, but he could go, I would think, right? I mean, on this little type of tour and the casino tour and the state fair tour or better, but how many
over 10,000.
Yeah, see?
So, I mean, at about $100, what is it? Was it about $100 a pop, at least where we were sitting, I think, probably.
Well, you surely didn't pay for your tickets, the dignitary that you guys are.
I don't know. That's up to the boss. She takes care of that stuff. She has her ways.
Got to the bottom of that. Good for you.
but I will say this. And I'm sitting there listening to Bryan Adams, who I've seen, like I said, on numerous other times before, but obviously not for many, many years. You forget how many songs he was a part of. You know what I mean? His playlist was remarkably deep. And everything I do it for you. I mean, I can't – that stuff, the prom stuff that kind of music, that's not my deal. I understand that it is some other people's, and that's fine.
He's got plenty of toe tappers, though. He's got plenty of sing-along tunes.
And no question – the best song of the night was The Only Thing That Looks Good on Me. And it's a damn good tune. Yeah. Really good rock tune. Yeah. And then he did a rockabilly tune from probably 1958 or so. And the name of it escapes me right now. That was just absolutely outstanding. Very tight band. I think four of the five are still original members. The keyboard... Now, the guy on keyboard is not an original, but the rest of them are. And he sounded good. He sounded exactly like you would expect Bryan Adams or hope Bryan Adams to sound. So,
Sarah Hurdle on Twitter, you can see my better half on this show and my better half's better half on Twitter. And that rock in the background's not bad, but do a little more digging. If you don't know what Red Rocks is, it's ridiculous.
Oh, yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah, in fact, I would tell to our music loving fans out there, and I know maybe many of them exist in the afternoon because I know that Bob and Jeff love to talk music and stuff. So I would maybe tell them as well.
Yep.
It is worth the trip to come out to see if there's someone that you really love to see, and the Red Rocks has something going on literally every single night. I mean, like insane. Every single night. Bryan Adams is there tonight. So Bryan Adams last night, Bryan Adams tonight. But anyway, it's worth coming out to go check it out.
Sweet.
Find someone that you really like. Come on out and see it. Make it a next day. Go see a ball game or something like that, and it'll be a great 1-2 punch.
Is it almost 50-50 when you see somebody at Red Rocks? 50% the atmosphere and your surroundings, and 50% the band that you're actually there to see. Is that fair to say? Because breathtaking.
I don't know. That's you might be right. You might be right. We were waiting for an Uber last night, chatting with a gal from Idaho that had come. And the only other time that she had been there before was to see Hall & Oates, which, by the way, would be another one I would probably go see. Not for the most recent Hall & Oates, but, man, Abandoned Luncheonette and some of the early Hall & Oates before they got into the kind of commercial silliness and stuff. But anyway, I digress. But we were chatting with her, and she said, I've really wanted to see Bryan Adams for a long time. She said, but it worked out that I have a friend from a place fairly close, like 60 miles from Denver. And she just liked going to Red Rocks. Yeah. So, and this was the second time that she had been. So yeah, there's probably part of that. But anyway, but I would invite anyone that has an interest in music, and in venues, to go check it out. It's it's iconic. And Red Rocks is iconic. And like I said, it's been there forever. And Shane, the great thing is, my day started right back there again this morning. I went up there and did my workout.
So how far is that from you right now?
From my house, it's 8 minutes.
Well, you're a jerk.
Yeah.
So you're totally spoiled when it comes to Red Rocks. We're guys like me are talking about it like it's something we see and hear on, you know.
Oh, I'm blessed. I'm totally blessed in that, you know, this is where we happen to plop down.
Wow.
It's literally right across the street, right across 470 from Morrison, which is where Red Rocks is. So there's a lot of mornings I go up and do my workout.
Oh,
I go do my stadium steps, or I do, you know, traversing back and forth, and because they keep it open.
Yeah.
They open it up for you all the time. And you got to be out of there by, I think it's noon on concert days, or 1 o'clock, something like that. Anyway, but whatever,
right.
It was fun. I enjoyed it. And when the weather is that good, you can't have a bad time.
Yeah.
Even if the band sucks,
right?
You can't have a bad time. So it's pretty good stuff. But we digress.
All right.
Where are we starting with this morning? Where are we going?
Well, with the Reds and the Royals, that was, that's where I was last night.
Well, it's okay.
I had a team that was 23-43 against a team that was 22-44. Two teams that basically lead the world in home runs allowed. So, of course, a guy named Sal Romano goes 8 and gives up 1 run. And a guy that at the beginning of last year had the second worst ERA of all the starters that qualified. And our guy Hunter Dozier is the only guy that touched him. He hit a home run. And then for Kansas City, a guy that had been notoriously terrible at home went 8 and gave up only 3 hits and handed the ball over to Kelvin Herrera for the 9th inning in a 1-0 Royal lead. And sure enough, Herrera gave up a home run to Tucker Barnhart in the 9th that tied it. And then the Reds got 4 in the 10th. Joey Votto cleared him off with a bases loaded triple. But a couple of things stood out to me when, you know, I'd been doggedly in Ian Kennedy's corner from the time they signed him. I thought that was a good sign.
Yeah.
And I'll admit
I did too. I liked it.
I liked it. As a fastball command guy who lives off his fastball that doesn't have a great fastball, which I admire, and I feel like that will play at Kauffman Stadium, you know, pitching half of his games in that ballpark, which holds fly balls. Fly ball pitcher, that's fine. That's where Chris Young can pitch. That's where Ian Kennedy can pitch. That's where a guy like Danny Duffy can pitch, who gives up fly balls every now and then. But over his last 2 years, going into the start last night, and I'm not pretending to want to usher Ian Kennedy out the door because his price tag's gargantuan, so he's probably not going anywhere. But he is 1-11 at home in his last 2 years. Last year was 1-8. This year, and now he's got a no decision, so it's still 1-11. This year he's 0-3 at home. He was 1-8 with a 6.46 ERA at home last year. I don't have any idea how that's possible. That's mind-boggling to me. And so then I got to digging. I'm like, all right, Ian Kennedy is 1-6, I think, is what his record is. 1-5? 1-6. Let's see here. He is, 1-6.
Okay.
Well, 4 guys in their rotation, because of how poorly the Royals have played over the last month and a half, are on pace for 15 losses. If they all stay healthy and Ned sticks with all of them, The record for losses in a season is 19 by a pitcher.
Hmm.
And it's happened two times. Darryl May, back when the Royals royally sucked, lost 19. And Paul Splittorff, back in the day, way, way back, lost 19 in a season. And I fear for not only maybe Ian Kennedy, but Jason Hamill, Jake Junis, for as good as he's pitched, he's lost six.
Mm.
You know, he's 5-6. Of course, Kennedy's only.
So are you saying that there are multiple pitchers for the Royals that could actually attack that number?
Four pitchers are on pace for 15 losses. So if things don't turn around drastically for them, yeah, maybe so. Also, Eske played in his 400th consecutive game last night.
Mm.
Remember we talked about the consecutive game thing to get to number 30 and to get to 519? That's 30 all time. I don't know if Eske's going to do it because he won't do it this year. And I doubt somebody will put up with it for, you know, as much as Ned does. But he's at 400 right now. So
I wonder what he's hit over that stretch.
Oh, I could look it up, but it won't be pretty.
No.
I mean, we both know that.
You know, Ian Kennedy was not only good last night, but he was decent in his last start against the Angels.
Yeah, only gave up one.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he's got gone
13 innings and he's only given up one run.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I mean, hey, look, it's better than giving up 10 runs in 13 innings. Yeah. So, interesting.
So,
very interesting.
Tony Boone from the Omaha World Herald is on deck. And speaking of Eske, I mean, we can pick his brain. All right, who's our next shortstop? And is he in Omaha right now? Because, I mean, I'm ready.
Yeah.
And I don't want to absolutely bury Alcides Escobar, but the love affair between Ned and him is legendary, and I would say we're getting closer to moving on than we are with Eske getting a statue built of him out in front of the stadium.
Yeah, I don't think there's any concerns over that. We'll be back in just a minute. Let's talk more Royals as we continue. 869-1240 Sports Daily on a Wednesday. Back in a moment.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.